Before we start to engage in the incredible week that we're about to embark on, the halacha is, you're supposed to say Birchas HaTorah. You're supposed to recite the blessings on the Torah before you go ahead and learn Torah. And therefore I felt it was appropriate to start off the week with an idea about Birchas HaTorah that is very relevant to this week, specifically to the Archei Kala, to us in Eishet Torah. Hopefully set a tone for what we are doing today. The Gemara says in the Maseches Nedarim, Daf Pei Aleph, that the question was asked, Ama of the Eretz, why did Yerushalayim, why did Eretz Yisrael become desolate? And the Navi says that this question was asked to the Chachamim, the Nevi'im, no one knew. What's going on? Why was Eretz Yisrael destroyed? Until Hashem Himself gave the answer. And He said, Azvam is Torah Si, because you left the Torah. And Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, key person over here, Rav, tells us that Shelo Barchu B'Torah Tchila. It's because the people did not recite, B'nai Yisrael did not recite the blessing of the Torah before they learned Torah. And the question is, the Pasuk says explicitly, they left the Torah. Left the Torah means they weren't learning Torah, they weren't acting in the ways of the Torah. Where did Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, where did Rav see that really it was that they didn't give up the blessing, they didn't recite the blessing on the Torah beforehand? And Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the Rishonim, explains, because it was a question. How could it be that they asked the Chachamim and the Nevi'im and no one knew what was going on? If everyone left the ways of the Torah, if they weren't learning Torah, it's pretty obvious why Eretz Yisrael was destroyed. So Muslim, there was something different. What was that? That they didn't recite the bracha on the Torah beforehand. And he explains that when you recite the bracha on the Torah, before learning the Torah, it shows that Torah isn't just an exercise, isn't just something that you do because you have to do it, but it's special. It deserves a bracha beforehand. And that changes the whole hashkafa, the whole outlook on all the Torah that's being learned. And the same thing holds true with the Yarchei Kala. The source of the Yarchei Kala was that in the times of the yeshivos in Bavel, Rav, who was one of the oldest Tanayim Amoraim to live, according to the Gemara, he lived over 90 years. He was from the last of the Tanayim, the beginning of the Amoraim. He came from Eretz Yisrael, he moved to Babel, and he saw people were working, people were busy, and it was important to institute times that people were solely learning. And therefore, for 2 months, Yarchei, plural, 2 months of Kala, of gathering, during the months of Adar and the months of Elul, the people would get together and they would learn together, designate their time in Torah. And that would show that the whole year, the rest of their time that they were busy with other things, other pursuits, was really all for the sake of Torah. And when people come from afar, people who aren't learning in our yeshiva, that come to learn in the yeshiva, to give up what they're doing, their busyness, even if they're involved in Harbasis of Torah and teaching of Torah, that sheds light on really what they're doing the entire time that's for the sake of the Torah. And just like Birchas HaTorah sets that tone, so too does this Yarchei Kala really shows what we're doing throughout the year. And it's a big chizuk for all of us, for all of you who have come and strengthened our Beis Medrash this week. We look forward to a great week of learning together. The Gemara says, in Maseches Brachos and Daf Chaf Aleph, if you'd like to look on with me, we have a packet over here. The Gemara asks, "Minayin lebirchas haTorah lefaneh min haTorah?" How do I know that before I'm supposed to learn Torah, there's a source in the Torah to recite Birchas haTorah? Shenemar, the pasuk in Hazinu, the beginning of Parashas Hazinu, "Ki shem Hashem ekra havugol del Elokeinu." When I call out the name of Hashem, Moshe says, "Havugol del Elokeinu," you should ascribe greatness to God. What does that have to do with learning Torah? What does that have to do with saying Birchas HaTorah? Here Rashi explains, over here on the right hand side it's bracketed, that Moshe Rabbeinu was about to launch the famous Shira, the song of Hazinu, which right before that, the Pasuk says, was a teaching. It was like teaching Torah. Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I call out the name of God in my blessing of the Torah, that I'm going to say, Moshe says, before learning the Torah, Havugod l'Elokeinu, you should all answer, Amen. Therefore, Rashi explains that Shem Hashem, the name of Hashem, is referring to the name that Hashem is going, that Moshe is going to say when he makes the blessing on the Torah. However, the Marsha, copied over here, source number 2, and the Nefesh HaChaim and others explain differently. Shem Hashem doesn't mean the blessing of the Torah. Shem Hashem, the name of Hashem, refers to the Torah itself. And it's based on an idea that the Ramban writes in his introduction to the Chumash, that all of the Torah has another way of reading it. We look at it as mitzvos, averos, stories, lessons. But if you take all the words of the Torah and you connect them into one long word, you could find the names, the special names of Hashem inside that new infrastructure of the Torah. You and I, we don't know how to do it. We don't know how to break it up. But there is a higher level of looking at the Chumash, looking at the Torah, where it doesn't have stories. It doesn't have mitzvos and averos. All it has is that one long name of Hashem. And therefore the Marsha explains, Kishem Hashem Ekra. When we call out the name of Hashem, when we read the Torah, when we look at the Torah, which contains all the names of Hashem, Havugod l'Elokeinu, you should make a bracha. You should go ahead and recite Birchas HaTorah. And this difference of how to understand the Pasuk, it can have a very big ramification in Halacha. Again, does Kishem Hashem Ekra mean when I say the name of Hashem, when I recite the bracha? Or does Kishem Hashem mean when I recite the name of Hashem, meaning I read the Torah itself, which makes up all the names of Hashem? You look at the next page, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Siman Mem Zayin, Seif Dalet, Hamahara b'divrei Torah einu tzarech levarech. If someone thinks about Torah, he doesn't have to make a bracha. Fascinating. He could be thinking about the Gemara, he could be thinking about the best Dvar Torah he ever heard in his life in Chumash, but he's not speaking it out, he's not articulating that Torah. The Shulchan Aruch says, you don't have to make a bracha. And the Vilna Gaon asks on the bottom, why is that? I mean, it's a mitzvah. He's learning, he's thinking about Torah, he's performing a mitzvah. Why wouldn't you be obligated to say a bracha? And if you look at the next page, the copy of the Chai Adam was written by Avram Danzig. He lived in the late 1700s, the early 1800s. He says as follows on the bottom of Nishmas Adam Sifkat and Dalet. He says, next to the arrow, Hiksha Agra. The Vilna Gaon asks, Kaven dehi bircha, that he birchas ha-mitzvah, since birchas ha-Torah is a blessing on performing the mitzvah of learning, u'bechlal ha-mitzvah gam kim here, of course, if you go ahead and just think about Torah, you're fulfilling a mitzvah, k'mo shekatuv, v'gisa bo yomam v'layla, m'lashon higayon libi, v'nirali, what's the answer? The kaven de birchas ha-Torah nafgalon mikra, the kishem ha-shem ekra, since birchas Torah, the source, is from the pasuk that we quoted when we call out the name of Hashem, the kriya haynu dibor. The word ekra means to speak, to call out. He's understanding, like the Marsha, that kishem Hashem ekra means when I call out the names of Hashem, when I read the Chumash, when I read the Torah, which contains the names of Hashem, then I have to go ahead and make a bracha. Therefore, since the pasuk which says, when I read the names of Hashem, when I read the Chumash, Ekra, I call out the names of Hashem, only when you call it out, only when you speak it out, are you going to be obligated to make a bracha. If I'm just thinking about it, I'm not going to be obligated to make a bracha. So we see, based on the Marsha's understanding of the pasuk, a nafkamil alacha that explains that for here, if you're just thinking about the Torah, you're not obligated to go ahead and make a bracha. But if you turn back to the Shulchan Aruch, there's a very big problem. And that is, Siv Gimel, HaKosev B'Divrei Torah, Afo Pi She'eno Korei Tzarech Levarech. If someone writes Divrei Torah, Even though he's not articulating the words, he's not speaking it out as he writes, he has to make a bracha. And the Taz on the left and the Magen Avraham on the right side, they jump up. What's going on over here? We just said that if you're thinking about Torah, you don't have to make a bracha. Like we said from the Nishmas Adam, only if you speak it out. Ekra, I call it out. And over here, you're writing. You're not speaking it out. We're not going to say that writing is like speaking. So how could it be that thinking about Torah doesn't require a bracha, but writing Torah does? And here, I'd like to share with you a beautiful answer. A beautiful answer that's given by the Shev Yaakov. Copied on the last page. The Shev Yaakov lived in the end of the 1600s. His name was Rav Yaakov HaKohen Papers, or Poparash. And in the end of the 1600s, he said the following beautiful idea. But before I say it, I have to introduce it with something that I think is amazing. We all know the pasuk, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Morasha Kilas Yaakov. From the first words that a child is supposed to say, the Torah that Moshe commanded to us is an inheritance to the congregation of Bnei Yisrael. Rabbeinu B'chai in Parshas Va'era, from last week, last Shabbos, two Shabbos ago, Perek Vav Pasuk Ches, points out, why the word Morasha? It should have said, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, the Torah that Moshe commanded us, Yerusha, it's an inheritance. What's Morasha? And Morasha means, he says, to bequeath, to give over, not an inheritance. And he says the Torah is highlighting that it's not about us learning the Torah. It's not only about us learning Torah. But the Pasuk is telling us that it's an obligation for us, lehorish, to give over the Torah to the next generation. In that Pasuk, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, we highlight the fact that it's not just about learning Torah, but it's about teaching Torah as well, highlighted by the word Morasha. And this is echoed in the Rambam. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, Mitzvah Yud Aleph, source number 6, tells us, what is the mitzvah of learning Torah? Shetzivanu lilmod chachmas haTorah, to learn the wisdom of the Torah, ulilamda, and to teach it. The mitzvah of learning Torah is not just to learn, but it's to learn and to teach. If someone is learning and is not teaching, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Morasha. We have to bequeath it, we have to give it over to the next generation. That's what Talmud Torah is. Says the Shev Yaakov, an incredible idea. He says, you know why, when it comes to thinking about Torah, hear her. You don't have to make a bracha. Okay, we said, because the pasuk says ekra, you got to call it out, you have to speak it out. Okay, but why? At the end of the day, I'm learning the Torah in my head, I'm thinking, I'm steiging, I'm really intense, I'm getting a mitzvah. Why aren't I obligated to make a bracha? So he says, because such a style of learning is not able to be given over to someone else. When I'm thinking about Torah, yes, I'm learning. But that's not a tzurah. That's not a framework that also could be given over to someone else. And therefore, it's not a framework that could include Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of learning Torah in its entirety, in its completeness. Because Talmud Torah means to learn and to teach. However, says the Shev Yaakov, when you write Torah, that's different. Because yes, I'm learning, but this is a framework that others are going to be able to read afterwards. I write something that other people could read. And therefore, writing is a framework which has the potential of Talmud Torah in its completeness. Learning and teaching. And therefore, the Shev Yaakov says, that's the explanation of the Shulchan Aruch, that when it comes to hearer, you don't make a bracha. Yes, it's a mitzvah. Yes, you're getting a reward. But since that surah, that framework, does not include learning and teaching, you don't go ahead and make a bracha. When it comes to writing, which does have the potential for teaching, for giving over, then you have to go ahead and make a Birchas HaTorah on that as well. And this idea of Rabbeinu Bachai, the Rambam, that the mitzvah of learning Torah is not just to learn, but also to teach, depending on where you are, which part needs to be emphasized changes. Some places you have to go ahead and say, look, it's not just about learning Torah, you have to go ahead and you have to teach. That's part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And some places, that when people are involved in teaching all the time, we have to remind ourselves that it's also about learning Torah. Learning itself and growing, continuing to grow. Like Rav Noach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, used to always push the Talmidim to set aside every single day hours of learning time. It's not just about the teaching and giving over in the Morashah, but it's also about the learning Torah here as well. And I want to quote from an incredible speech that Rav Meir Shapiro, the founder, he's known for be the founder of the Daf Yomi movement, and also the founder of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. That yeshiva only started in 1930. People don't realize that before that, he started several other successful yeshivas. And in 1922, he started a yeshiva in a place called Sonnet. And at the opening day of that yeshiva, the Talmidim were all there, and he said the following idea. He said, Rav, the same Rav that we mentioned before, who started the idea of Yarchei Kala, because he saw that people needed to have chizuk and learning, 2 months a year, and to come back and learn. That same Rav, the Gemara in Gittin, and Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph tells us, how did he sign his name? He didn't write Reish Bet, or Rabbi. He made a picture of a fish. That was his signature. Pretty strange. Right? Why did he use a symbol of a fish as his signature? So Rav Meir Shapiro said as follows. He said, Rav, as we mentioned earlier, lived over 90 years. He lived in a time when Judaism was changing. The Mishnah, the Gemara. There was adversity. There were challenges. He saw a very wide spectrum out there. And he wanted to let everyone know that he's the same Rav before that lived in Eretz Yisrael with the Tanaim, and he's the same Rav afterwards that lived in Bavel in the times of Amoraim. How did he show that? Because of the famous fable, Rabbi Kiva's fable of the fish and the fox. The Gemara in Brachos and Daf Samach Aleph. That the Gemara tells us that the fish were swimming by the shore and the fishermen were trying to chop up, catch with their nets the fish. The fish screamed out to the fox on the shore, help me! And he said, come up to the shore. Come up here, I'll help you. And the fish said, I'm no dummy. If I'm in danger down here with the net, how much more so am I going to be outside on the shore? I'm going to stay in the water where I'm at least somewhat protected. The water itself could be my hiding spot where I could be saved, where I could continue to live and continue to grow. The fish represents the idea that, yes, those nets are out there, and it's difficult, and they're coming to trap us, and things are pulling us in so many different directions. But at the end of the day, we stay in the water, we stay in the Torah, we stay in the learning in the yeshiva. And even if I'm out there, and even if I'm teaching, and even if I'm involved with tremendous, great things, but at the end of the day, my source of energy is the Torah. Yeshiva is the place. And Rav Meir Shapiro said, our task now in our day is to keep well in mind the fish of Rabbi Kiva's fable and the fish that Rav drew as his signature, to make sure that no matter what, we never leave the atmosphere of Torah learning as long as we can draw life from the Torah. We're here. We're in the yeshiva. And therefore, as I mentioned, it's a tremendous chizuk that all of you joined us, are joining us in learning. It's a chizuk for us that when we leave the yeshiva, we always remember to come back and to learn and to grow and to strengthen ourselves. And this Yarchei Kala should be a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, should be a source of nachas to our Rosh Yeshiva of Noach, Weinberg Zecher Tzadik Livracha. This is your tzeit tomorrow. And Be'ez Hashem, through the learning together, We'll be zochet to see the Mashiach. Meher v'yameinu. Amen.
Amen.